Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. We have phones running here with the audio, so nobody's... There we go. Thank
Every
you.
Time.
No. You're going to have to turn that off because we're hearing everything. Okay. Yeah, turn off the audio on your phone. You get to hear us twice.
Yes, there you go.
There you go.
Get that
now
sweet, sweet
better.
Intro.
Yeah.
More than once.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Today's Monday, December 30th, Jen.
The last Monday that will ever be of 2019.
That's true, right? At least this year.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, yeah, a lot of last things for a lot of things, actually, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the end of the decade, definitely. So you're going to have to turn off the audio. You don't even need the video. Just turn it off. Yeah, hold on a second. Let me. Let's just close this here. You don't need to watch yourself. There we go. We do have a couple of guests in the studio. If you want to check us out in visually, that is,
That's right.
Go to Facebook, LA Talk Radio's
check
page.
Us out.
You can check us out there. Our guests are there. We're there. Everybody is there. And if you're just on audio, you can stay there. And we, as usual, we love you just as much. You don't need to see us to enjoy the show.
There you go. That's why it's radio.
Right. So a couple more days. Well, actually, one more day of 2019, and then we move over to the next year.
What's your greatest accomplishment of this year?
Staying alive, I guess, right?
It's a good one. It's a good one. It's a really good one.
After my stroke, I mean, I stayed alive. So that's good. What about you? What was your moving to LA?
Moving to LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 10 years of coming, and finally it happened.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, big, big change.
Big time
big
for you.
Big life change, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's a big change, you know?
For sure.
So it takes a lot of cojones, I guess, to
That was the word I was hoping you'd
right?
use. by the way, Sam and I went to the weed cafe finally.
We did go to the weed cafe.
We had a fun party to go to, but the party ended up being a dud. So,
so it never happened.
Yeah, it never happened.
We couldn't find it. So, but you know what? I saw some pictures. We didn't miss much.
Really? I know. I was like, do we have to go and listen to this person sing?
I know. I know. So we ended up, getting high, having fun, eating and stuff, and that was cool.
And vegan nachos, they were pretty great.
Yeah, right?
It was great.
Except they started freezing for you
after a while. That's I was saying to Sam, the thing about nachos is like, the waiter should come up and bring a timer. Uh-huh. And once they drop the nachos off, give you like 7 minutes to eat them, because nachos just turn into like goo.
Right.
It just turns into this like
and
mush.
If it's cold goo, it's terrible.
It was such cold goo. They were great the first like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was
sounds
slop.
Appetizing. Cold goo, everybody.
Yeah, it was
there
just
you go.
Slop. Yeah. It's a pile of slop. And soggy chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So any plans for you for 2020 that you can talk about?
Just working on this film. I just got done 3 12-hour days of shooting over the weekend.
Wow.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm kind of in the twilight zone right now.
Right.
But yeah, we're finishing up this film. I think we wrap around the 10th or the 12th of this month. So besides that, just... Hopefully networking during this and getting some more work.
Great. Yeah,
totally.
It's all about wishing for the best and then acting on it, I suppose, right?
Yeah,
wishing is not a plan.
Putting it in motion,
that
sure helps.
There, yeah. Get you there.
Not
yeah.
just like smoking weed and staying inside all day. That's not going to help.
Yeah.
You think it might, but it doesn't.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you never know. But yeah, what about New Year's Eve? Any plans for New Year's Eve? You're going to party? At least you're not going to be in Times Square, which is a good thing.
No.
You
no
told
one
me
goes
you need a diaper
Square.
There, right?
Yeah, you do. You have to wear a diaper because there's no way to get to the bathroom.
I know. And even if you go, you come back, you can't find the people you're with.
Right.
You know?
So then you're just sitting there in a diaper that's slowly getting as cold as it is outside.
Right. That's a terrible thing. That's a little known fact. about Times Square on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, for sure. But I was thinking about having like a small cocktail party at my house with just like a handful of friends.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But I saw they're playing the Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes Romeo and Juliet at the park.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they're going to have fireworks behind it or something. And that's, yeah, I love that.
Really?
That one, yeah. It's
have you seen that movie?
Oh my gosh, I watched it all the time when I was a kid. Leonardo DiCaprio was my sweet baby angel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Young Leo, though. Sorry,
Never
Leo.
Never heard of it.
Young
Never
Leo.
Heard of that movie.
I'm actually not sorry he discriminates against women in age, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he doesn't date anyone over 26. And I'm like, that makes sense because you were way hotter when you were under 26.
Yeah,
so.
Well, there you go. It's because he can, you know?
That's he can,
what it comes
yeah.
down to.
I know.
But yeah, don't hate him for that. That's,
I know.
It's just.
They all look the same, though.
Yeah.
It's like
that's the same.
It's like a robot.
It's
like has like a Leonardo DiCaprio dating factory, and it's just like robots that all look the same. He's like, all right, this one's done. Next.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, every man's dream, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you just live it.
Some weird science. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
You programmed the girl into the computer.
Right.
Yeah. So good. I'm like, I would do that.
Yeah.
Somebody just come out looking like Zac Efron.
Exactly.
Or something.
You know, there you go. You would do the same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go. Yeah. So, okay, well, our guests can't wait to talk, so we'll just bring him on.
We've been talking in the background.
Yeah,
I mean, might as well, you know, so we can all hear you. We're joined by Kelly Mack. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, and you brought a friend, Jolynn, with you.
I did.
Awesome. Welcome to the show, Jolynn.
Thank you.
So, Kelly and I met here a couple of weeks ago. It was when you were a guest on a show here, and you told your story, and I found it very fascinating, and maybe you'll give us some of that today, too.
Sure.
So, you are into fitness, right?
Yes.
You have the Kelly Mack method. What is that? Tell us a little bit about that.
That method is so practical. I've done it for so long, and it's just a matter of principles, you know, executing your movements with purpose. And it could be done. Even here in this room, I can literally get a really nice workout with the chairs and the table.
Wow.
Just knowing, you know, why you're doing it and the muscle groups that you're training and, you know, breathing through it. And so, you know, the method is very practical. It can be taken anywhere. There's no gadgets, you know, and so it boils down to really good instruction.
She would do that on the show.
So she can testify to that.
So that's a way to work out pretty much and with purpose, you say.
With purpose.
What does that mean?
That means, well, I'm a Pilates specialist. So I believe in, you know, a strong trunk. And so I've done it before children. I'm doing it after children. And I believe that if you have a strong core, your upper and your lower extremities will kind of flow together.
Uh-huh.
So I believe in Joseph Pilates' method and his philosophy as well, because if you don't have your center together, it's harder on your back.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Right. So it's not, in addition to looking good and feeling good,
right.
It's really is a functional and practical practice. And it could be added to anybody's, you know, routine, or even if you're new to it, you know, you can go to a beginning, you know, for beginners.
Right.
Class.
Do you address nutrition as well in this?
I actually work with a nutritionist. So, you know, if someone came to me and said, okay, Kelly, this is what I would like to, you know, accomplish this year, I would pair that person up with the nutritionist that I work with.
I see. Cool. Mm-hmm. And when did you start with that?
Oh, dear.
The Kelly method. Kelly Mack method.
Yeah, I started, I was hooked on this since I was 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and
so, but when did you develop your own method? Early on in your
life? Yes, I started in 2003.
Oh, wow.
2003, I started my own business, and I call it the Kelly Mack method, or Mack Pilates, and I had three studios in New York. And moved back to California.
Jen's from New York.
Yeah. Where in New York?
Washington Heights.
Got you. I was like at the tip of upper part of Buffalo.
Okay.
Like
Lewiston, so it's not
area.
New York City.
I'm from upstate New York.
Oh,
yeah, upstate New York.
Wellsbury, Elmira area.
Yeah, even further up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, my first city was New York City, where we filmed in Manhattan, New York. But I was there for 3 years in Manhattan, Princeton, New Jersey area, and then we moved to California since 78.
Wow.
Love it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
California reigns supreme.
It does. You know, everybody wants to move here, you know, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up, well, when I first came to America, I was in Manhattan for 3 years, that area. And then
where
I
did you come from?
I'm originally from Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I am like the first wave of the boat people.
Really?
And I do nails. I actually do more than nails. I'm licensed to do like hair, makeup, facial, everything.
Yeah. You never told us that.
Right? But I did that for several years after I was licensed. I'm still licensed and I still do it, you know, for a few people. But I find more joy in helping people feel vigorous and radiant, you know, from within. Right. And it's longevity for me.
So you came out here. What age were you?
Oh, boy. I arrived when I was 11 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. With your family?
I came with my sister, a younger sister, an aunt, a few uncles, and my dad's parents, my paternal grandparents.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big move, huh?
It was culture shock.
Yeah. I'm sure. Jolynn, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I live in Allen, Texas. It's kind of like L.A., you know, Dallas encumbers 5,000 different little cities. So anyway, I live in Allen right now.
I see. You know, they say many people are moving away from California to Texas right now.
I hear that.
Yeah,
too.
You know, you were saying everyone wants to come to L.A., but in Texas we go, all these Californians keep moving to Texas.
Yeah, right? And you guys notice them there?
Yes.
Really?
They just built Toyota, and they're building every year. They're building.
I was just reading, like 700,000 people left California this year.
Yes.
Alone.
Wow. Yes.
Whoa.
You know, so yeah, I mean, people are getting disillusioned, you know, but that's why I was wondering why they're moving to Texas. I understand it's a lot cheaper, right?
More
to live there.
More space. There's space here, but there's even more space there.
That's true. But it is cheaper to get real estate and like to live in a nice house and everything, you know. That's one thing people can't get to here anymore, you know. I mean, the average is like, what? Today, the average is $600,000 for a house.
You know, and that's for a small house. We can buy a new house. It's
with that money.
Yeah. $3,000, $4,000. You can get a, $400,000. Let me rephrase that.
It's like, wow, I'm going to Texas.
I'm telling you.
But yeah, you can get a house a lot cheaper.
So what brought you to California?
This week, there was a Warner Brothers has a Gilmore Girls setting, and I'm a Gilmore Girls fan, so I went to see it.
So you're just visiting? You still live in Texas? I thought you lived here.
Oh, no, I'm in Texas. I had the weekend off. I had the week off. So every Christmas, I like to go somewhere with my family.
Yeah.
So this year, I said, oh, we're going to L.A., so.
Cool, and how did you guys meet?
We met in, shall we talk about
it? Yeah, absolutely.
We met on Worst Cooks in America.
Worst cooks
we
in America.
We are horrible cooks.
Really?
I know.
That's something to be proud of as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, I love it.
Nobody believes it, but we witnessed it, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. What did they make? What kind of stuff did they make you do on that show? I haven't seen it.
I actually had even seen the show before. You want me to tell you my story?
Yeah,
no, let's do it.
Okay.
That's why we're here.
We have time for both stories. Yeah.
So I'm an agency nurse. I'm always looking on Craigslist to see what kind of next gig I can do or whatever. And I saw a thing. Are you the worst cook in America? And I thought, I am, because I'm a nurse, but I'm also a disaster relief volunteer. And we go and we feed the homeless, or we go to a disaster, and I can, you know, I have a food handler manager license. We can feed the masses or whatever. But I don't like to do the cooking because my friends say, you're a horrible cook. No. I do the cooking. I do the washing. I wash the dishes. I serve the coffee. I do that sort of thing. But I don't like to prepare the dinner because I'm known for being a horrible cook. I will burn the food. I will do whatever.
Wow.
So I am a bad cook. So one thing led to another. I told them that. And this was at 1:30 in the morning. They wanted a one-minute video. And I'm looking at myself going, and I said it out loud. I'm like, ooh, I look horrible at 1:30 in the morning. I figured that who's not going to look at it? You know, me, whatever. And one thing led to another. And
they liked you, and they brought you on. Wow. And how did they find you?
Well, I honestly don't remember how it all started. But I do remember after submitting it, I did not hear for weeks, and I was training a client, and the phone rang during the session. And normally I don't pick up the phone, but you listen to your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weeks, you know, and I picked up the phone, and my clients know I'm pursuing this, right? And they're all for me. And they're like, yeah, take the call. I took the call, and they're like, Kelly, this is so-and-so. Are you ready? You know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. And she's like, yeah, they love you.
Really?
I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so they asked for a video as well. Uh-huh. And so I had to be creative, you know, with
yes.
with my muscles and how I'm awful in the kitchen. And so I submitted that, and I waited for weeks again. Right. And then about
they
2 months later,
too.
Yeah, they picked me, and they're like, yeah, she's funny.
Yeah, right. They called me. I'm a nurse, and I never answered the phone either. And I happened to look at it and it said New York. I went, I'll be back. And I walked outside, and then they wanted me to cook some food. And somebody said, oh, you should cook something with sticks or, you know, I'm like, okay, I've never. And I asked them about it, and they said, no, you don't cook with sticks and rocks. You cook a real legitimate food.
Yeah.
So I went to the Asians.
You just cook it badly.
Yeah. I went, my husband's from India. We have Vietnamese friends. We have, I've grown up in Japan. So we have all this ethnic food in our house. So I went to the Asian store, and I ended up cooking Tex Asian one pot duck tongue soup. I guess I can say that.
Wow, really?
Duck tongue.
It's a mouthful.
So
the duck tongue.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you all about the Tex part. Ramen noodle was the Texan part because we as Texans know that at the end of the month we're all broke, so we have to eat a lot of ramen.
So you buy ramen.
So the rest of it just went down from there.
Piece.
I love that.
Duck tongue.
Sounds so healthy.
It was pretty well, except for I used a bottle of soy sauce. You probably would not approve of that. But the rest of it was pretty healthy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what makes a bad cook? I mean, when you try, I mean, you don't do it on purpose. You try to cook well.
Yeah.
And it comes out crappy.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, like, everyone thinks I know how to cook. And the truth is, our family's not rich in Vietnam at all. It's just we had nannies and cooks, and so we didn't have to cook.
Right.
So I never had to cook. I did, you know, the famous Vietnamese pho.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorites.
Isn't it delicious?
Yeah.
Only I don't eat the meat. So I'm thinking, well, I have never really done this, but I know I've eaten so much of it. I kind of know the ingredients, but I don't know how to put it all together.
Uh-huh.
But I did. And because I'm a health, you know, expert, I don't sodium or sugar or oil anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I got dinged for that.
Wow.
So your show consisted of like water and some vegetables.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun season.
Cooking usually is passed down from grandmothers to mothers to daughters and things like that, right?
Right.
So you guys skipped that whole part there, right?
Yeah, I did get the part. My grandmother would have little tea parties for us when I would go to New York. So I do know how to make tea, but that's about
it. Okay, that's
so.
About it. You see, it's what they teach you. You know?
Leaves and water.
How are you with cooking, Jen?
I'm great.
Really?
Actually,
that's
wonderful. Yeah, actually. I actually booked a vegan cooking show a couple months ago.
Fun.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of fun, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you learn from your mom, or how did that come to you?
Yeah, I mean, what I really learned from my mom wasn't how to cook. It was how to put something together out of nothing.
Mm.
Like, we'd have, like, you know, half a box of pasta and like beans, and suddenly you have this like big meal.
Yeah.
For some reason, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I need to learn that.
Yeah. So my brother's like that too. My brother almost went to culinary school and he decided last minute not to, but he's a really good cook.
Nice.
My sister's she thinks making a burrata salad, like slicing tomatoes and mozzarella and like putting a balsamic over it, is cooking. She's like, I cooked the salad.
It's
like
a meal.
You didn't cook the salad. She's like, I cut it and I put it on a plate. I cooked it. I'm like, okay.
And I'm pretty much at that point too. Except I put stuff on the barbecue grill too. So I go a little beyond that. You know, I can make rice. I can make pasta. So, and I don't consider myself a cook at all. But ever since I started eating healthy, I have to do more of my own stuff.
You have to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Going vegan really did that for me.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you read labels. It makes you learn how to prepare things. Because so many people are like, oh, I went vegan and I got sick. And right. I'm like, yeah, but what were you eating? They're like, well, I ate like a lot of fries and pasta. And I'm like, well,
that's
obviously that's why
you're
you
not going to lose any weight.
That's obviously yeah. why you got sick. Yeah. You know, like right. you have to, right. like my friend called me last night and he's like, I know you've done raw before. He's like, I just don't feel good. Like, my stomach's really acidic, this and that. And I asked him what he was eating, and he's like, only eating fruit right now. Mm. And I'm like, well, obviously, you know. And I gave him some recipes. I'm like, get herbs, you know, blend them with raw cashews, make like a homemade pesto, but like a raw vegan one. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much. There's raw nut butters. There's sprouted hummus and even sprouted breads like Ezekiel and things like that. You know, Ezekiel. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to really like want it, and you really have to like love to adventure in the kitchen
right,
to do it.
Because you can't get this food out, you know, when you go out. I mean, if you go to a nice vegan restaurant or something or a healthy restaurant, but for the most part, you want to pick up something quickly. You can't find that. It's all fast food.
Fried
you know?
Chicken.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pollo Loco or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My husband's from India, so he's into the vegan and the vegetarian.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we kind of butt heads about it.
Yeah, because you like your meat, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Do you eat meat too, or did you say you're vegan too?
I actually have never been a meat eater since I was a little girl. Wow. I've always been drawn to like vegetable proteins, you know, wholesome goodness. And so it was a really big deal whenever, you know, my nannies would try to get me to eat meat, I would just vomit.
Really?
Yes. Oh, and you know, on the show, you have to tune in on the show. I was out of my comfort zone.
Yeah,
but I'm alive. But I don't.
She survived.
I know.
Yeah. So did you have to eat meat on that show or what? You don't want
to
tell us.
You have to tune in.
Okay. So tell us, America's worst chef or cook?
Worst cooks.
Worst cooks. Mm-hmm. And where are people going to be able to see that?
January the 5th on the network channel.
Food Network.
Oh, on the Food Network.
They can actually download the app.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
watch it on there.
In Dallas, Texas, it's going to be at 9 o'clock p.m. on January the 5th. But I don't know about here.
Yeah. Got to check the locals.
Well, we'll figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
The Food Network, I don't watch it much, but I'll watch it now.
Yeah.
To see you guys.
Yeah, we're counting on you.
Makes me crazy to watch it. I'm just like 3 in the morning. I'm like on the couch stone, like watching them like make like a fruit tart. I'm like, stop. Like, why am I doing this to myself? Suddenly I'm starving.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So you're a nurse, right?
Yes.
And what, you work in a hospital?
I'm an agency nurse, so I go out. Maybe I'll be a school teacher for 6 weeks, or I'll go out and give everyone their flu shots at a company.
Oh,
or
I see.
I do different things.
Very cool.
Camp nurse in the summer.
Yeah, so it keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
Do you stalk your kids about washing their hands like my mom did?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And getting their flu shots, but my kids don't listen to me, so I didn't even give them one this year.
Yeah.
So
one
of my kids is sick.
Yeah. And Kelly, so I wanted to ask you, you came here at the age of 11, a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you guys land when you came from Vietnam?
So we actually landed in New York City.
Okay.
Because my aunt and uncles lived in Princeton, and they're still in the Princeton area. They were attending University of Princeton.
Right.
And so because they're family, they sponsored us. So at that time after the fall of Saigon, you know, you go wherever your family can sponsor you. And our family was in New Jersey.
Okay. So luckily you had somebody abroad, so you were able to leave and find a new home.
In my head, you said you were boat people, so I just imagined you coming on a boat instead of a plane. Yes, it doesn't make sense.
You know,
whatever.
The funny thing is, like, my grandmother has a lot of relatives in the military, and we were rehearsing, you know, the emergency evacuation for a couple months.
Wow.
And we had our emergency packs ready to go, and every night we would hear the bombing, the shooting, and it's just like, I'm like, you know, we're prepared for the war.
Right.
And you know, she told us, you know, we're going to be leaving, you know, like in a decent way, you know, because we have connections in the military. Well, you know, 12:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday, and we normally would have our family rituals, and we're having our lunch, and I just remember the phone rang, and I can hear it in her voice, you know, and I can see the body language. And she hung up the phone and she just grabbed everybody and she's like, we need to go.
Really?
And so everything that was, you know, shared with us about the emergency evacuation, it went right out the door. And she took us to the boat dock. Wow. And I just still remember after all these years, you know, I can still hear the noise. I can feel, you know, the chaoticness, you know, and I just remember the pirates were obviously opportunists and you want to get on that, you know, you need to give me cash. And grandmother was ready for it, you know, and she gave them the cash and they're like, no, that's not good enough.
We need more cash.
And I mean, they strip her down to her ring and I remember them opening her mouth just to make sure there's nothing hidden in her mouth.
Wow.
It was definitely.
Very traumatic.
It is.
Especially for a young child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yours is so serious. I have a funny joke. Mine's more, my story's more chaotic. Last Sunday I flew into LA and in the middle of, you know, I'm a disaster relief volunteer. In the middle of the night, I'm dreaming that my alarm's going off and then I realize it's not an alarm going off. It's a fire alarm. I jumped up. I'm like, this is not a drill. This is real. It's a fire alarm. Get up now. Yeah. My kids are like, what? This is not a drill. Get up now. And they're like, then they realize I wasn't joking. They got it. But my kids were like, I got to find my glasses. I got to find. You can come down and you're naked. I don't care what you look like.
Yeah,
you know.
Get out of here.
So I dragged them down the stairs like you're supposed to. I noticed something. If anybody's listening, when something like that is happening, you go to where you're supposed to. You know that at the end of the hallway, there's always a door. The door was locked. I didn't realize, you know, when it's happening, you're like, you're freaking out. The door behind me was unlocked.
Oh, that's okay.
So we went to the other end of the hallway.
The
but
side.
Anyway, yeah. So my kids
oh my gosh.
And they're naked. You know, well, they had underwear on, but, you know, wow. For the most part, they were naked. But, that was my.
Where were you staying? At a hotel or something?
No, you don't have to. I don't want to insult them. But
no, but was it a hotel or
something? Yes, it was a hotel here in
LA.
Oh,
I see. And was it real? I mean, the drill?
Someone was smoking in the stairwells.
Oh, what an ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
I hate
so
that.
So let's wake everybody up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And run out of the building because you're smoking in the stairwell.
But people were like, they're going down. Is this real? I'm like, it's not a drill. It's real now, you know. And then, do I not have a good, I used to be EMT. Are you not, maybe I don't have that voice anymore or something. I don't know, but.
I don't know. I feel like all moms have that voice.
Get down now.
I know that look you made. Whoa. I was like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So, so you grew up in New York. I imagine it must have been difficult for you with the language and everything and the culture and all that. You had brothers and sisters with you, did you say?
My mom and dad had four children.
Okay.
I'm the oldest of four.
Okay.
And they left Vietnam when I was about two, and they left a younger sister behind. So the two of us were born and raised in Vietnam by my dad's parents.
I see.
And then when they arrived in Hong Kong, meaning my mom and dad, they had a brother and a sister.
Right.
So the younger sister and I are like 10 years apart.
I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's four of us.
But okay, so you weren't alone. I mean, you had people around you and everything.
I came with my sister,
right.
My grandparents, my aunt and uncles
right,
to America.
Right. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And but going to school and stuff.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But going to school and stuff was difficult, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, I'm so grateful that they were so strict, you know, when we come home, you know, and they're like, no English in the house, you know, and we're so excited that we just learned a few words, you know,
oh, God.
And they're like, no Chinese and Vietnamese in the house. And I'm so grateful that they did that because I can still speak it on, you know, Chinese and Vietnamese. So when I came to America, that immediate, you know, group, none of us knew English.
Right.
So you know, and being in New Jersey, where there's a lot of Caucasians, we stood out like a sore thumb. And children can be really cruel,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And they thought we were Japanese, you know. And,
yeah.
And they would
it's
just
what everybody
do, yeah.
Thinks,
and
right?
I was like ready to sock them. Yeah, I would come home. This is not no exaggeration, guys. This is true. I would come home with my hair all over the place, my clothes are all over the place. The guy, I have to defend myself,
right.
You know, and so what? You spoke English, you know, and I spoke Vietnamese, but I fought you know, the kids that were bullying us, you know, and especially if they were mean to my siblings.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would tell us, you know, they would tell us, and then we don't understand what they're saying, and they would point to us where we can sit in the bus. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm sitting here.
No, we're not.
I'm sitting right here. And or when we go to have lunch or something, they're like, no, you go. No, we're sitting right here, you know. And, and so even though that we didn't speak English, I'm not. I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for, you know, disrespect.
Right.
Oh yeah, big time.
No, I don't blame you. You know, I mean, it's tough enough when you show up in a new country, but then to be bullied and everything is hard.
And school's hard enough as it is.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? Plus, you try to fit in. You know, you don't. As a kid, the last thing you want to do is stand out. You know, you want to fit in.
You're right.
You want to be like everybody else. You know. And so I can imagine it was difficult for you. Now, I understand the family wanting you to retain your original tongue when you're home, because you learn the English when you go to school, you know?
Sure.
So so that's pretty good, because now you can speak all these languages,
yes,
you know?
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful that they were so strict about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you grew up in New York, and what brought you to L.A.?
Well, the original Macs are still there, meaning my aunts and uncles are still there. There's over 100 of us. There's a lot of Macs. And
is that like your original name?
Yeah, that's Chinese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, Kelly, wait, Kelly's Irish and Mac is. And so when I speak to people over the phone, you know, they expect an Irish girl.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm Kelly. And so they always think that, you know, Mac is
like, look like this,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But Mac is actually a Chinese name. My grandfather came from Canton, China.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So where in Jersey were you?
We live literally like a block from Princeton University. Mm. We were so blessed when we came.
It's a cute area.
Yeah. You know, the original stay was with my aunt, and she had a one-bedroom apartment. I remember this still. 12 of us in one bedroom apartment, one bathroom. The landlord knew that, you know, the refugees are arriving, and they, you know, made some exceptions. And they kept all of us there for a couple months. And, you know, bathroom was you have to take a number, and you wherever you can find, you know, a floor space to get, you know, your rest. That there's 12 of us in a one bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. in Long Island, okay. Right? And then a couple months later, because my uncle attended University of Princeton, and he's a really, really smart man, and because he's an honor student, they said, you know what, we're going to extend something we've never done before, and that is we're going to allow your family to stay at one of our staff housing. And that's literally across the street from University of Princeton. And he kept his grades up, of course.
Right.
And we moved from a one-bedroom apartment with my aunt to a three-floor mansion.
To
a six-bedroom home. Mm-hmm. That's just, it's a beautiful home. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we were very grateful. I've gone back to visit, and I've always been very, very grateful for everything.
Right.
I really am. And to go back and to say, wow, I knew this place was really beautiful, but wow.
Was it like a 100-year-old?
It's a colonial.
Okay.
Tudor colonial. And it's still there. It's still there. And I remember, Sam, you were saying that, you know, trying to fit in and not speak, you know, the English. We are poor. We arrive with only the clothes on our backs, and everything was given to us by Red Cross or local churches. Mm-hmm. And I remember just going to school with, like, really bad clothes. Yeah. But we're grateful that we're saved, and, you know, people came to help us and everything.
It's more important, you know.
Yeah.
So you go up there, and then how did Los Angeles happen?
So after 3 years of...
Did you go to college? Did you go to Princeton at all?
No.
No.
I mean, I'm so unconventional.
You didn't
unconventional.
Have a chance for education, yeah. though. I mean,
yeah, I attended
you're
here.
You're moving, right.
Yeah. So after three winters in New Jersey with, you know, the snow and everything, my mom and dad decided summer of 78 that they're... Do you remember those Ford, wagons? it was such a big deal in the 70s to have those big wagons, you know, like the Porter family kind of. My dad had one of those, and so he put the four kids, all four kids, and mom and, you know, my dad, and we drove across America, summer of 78, we stopped in Florida. We stopped in Houston. That's where a couple more uncles are there. Now there's a handful of Macs there. Mm-hmm. And then we decided, no, it's too hot in Texas and too humid.
I thought it'd be like Vietnam kind of stuff.
So mom and dad decided, you know what? We're going to head to California. And we've been here since 78. And I love it here. This is my hometown.
So your family's here too.
Yes, mom and dad are about an hour away, and my sister's down the street. My other sister is in Huntington Beach, and my brother is like an hour away, and my uncle's, everybody's here.
I love that. Cool. I love that everyone
And my daughter is in West Hollywood, and that's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Drag your family here, too.
My mom won't. She just won't. She's like, the San Andreas Fault, and it's going to fall into the ocean. And
that's what my aunt says. Yeah.
Yeah. She just doesn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. She's like,
would you move to California?
Sure.
Yeah, you like it here?
I love it, yes. Oh, wow. I already told my kids, you know, the disaster relief person in me, okay, if there's a disaster, you know, and we went through all the...
Yeah, you're prepped.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's like, just promise me when I'm old and demented, you won't put me in a home out there. I'm like, you're the worst.
Yeah.
Very nice. So then you grew up here later on and everything. Mm-hmm. And so you got into the fitness and everything. At what point? I mean, did you like feel that? What attracted you to it?
So what you're saying is like, what made you not do nails?
Oh, you would do nails at the time. Okay, right.
It's a great question. Okay, so obviously I'm Vietnamese.
Why do Vietnamese do nails?
Because they're good at it. They're really good. And, yeah, they're very good at it. I
guess we have a lot of them here.
There's a lot of heavy reasons behind that.
You know, the transition, I was brought up by my mom, my dad's parents. So that's really who I knew. Mm. And it was traumatic enough to escape Vietnam at 11 years old. And then it was so dramatic and traumatic when my parents took me and my sister away from my parents, my grandparents, without even, you know, having, you know, any consideration. Because they don't, I believe that they were doing their best now looking back. So that was really hard on me. I was like now 13 years old, you know, trying to feel my way into the Western world. And what happened to the people that I grew up with? Now they're in New Jersey. I'm here with my sister. I know you're my it was a lot of stress for me, Sam. And I just remember, and being the oldest of the four, in our culture, it's really like a big deal, you know, and I had to do all the domestic things at home, and I never cooked. My mom cooked. So, it was hard on me. And I remember going grocery shopping one day. This is the real truth here. And so summer of 78, 79, we went grocery shopping, and we stood at the newsstand, you know, when you're standing there and all these little gadgets you can pick up. I just remember looking at, back in the day, do you remember this, Sam, that 49 cents, you're so young, you guys, well, maybe Jolene, well, 79 cents, 49 cents, little books, you know, how to exercise.
Oh, wow.
And so I remember asking my mom, could you just get me then? She did. And that's how it all began. And I went home, and it was just so hard on me. Right. And buying that book it just changed me forever.
It was your outlet.
Yeah. And I applied, you know, back then there was not, you know, VHS or shows yet. So everything I read, I looked and I applied, and I immediately felt strength, not just physical, but mental. And I'm like, no, I'm getting up every day. I'm going to do this before life hits me. And I've been doing that. And I went to school for it. I went to school to become a cosmetologist, and went to junior college. And I now, you know, this is my passion. I love what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you created your own business and stuff. And that must have made you feel good. I mean, you know, you've made a big leap from the beginning and stuff. Mm-hmm. So tell people what they can expect when they come to you. What do you teach them? What can they really expect from your method?
You know,
you do like private coaching and things like that?
I do. Right. I do. I have over 18 certifications of anything under, you know, done. And so I kind of came up with my own, and I don't want to be known with a gadget, you know. So I want my students. I have students that are a few months old that's, you know, that's been with me for a few months in there. I've got students that's over 12 years with me, and they'll tell you, like, I don't know what she's coming up with, but I bet you, you know, in 60 minutes, I'm going to feel challenged.
Yeah.
And that's a compliment to me, you know. I've not been stale with my method.
Right.
And what they can take away is the appreciation for their body, you know, understanding why we do what we do.
Right.
And part of my requirement, you know, or request with my clients is, I want you to talk back to me. Right. I am here for you. I want you to know what you're doing, why you're doing it. So I do want them to, you know, talk back to me and check in with them. And teaching them how to realign their posture, you know, why the core muscles are important and why we're doing what we're doing today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You notice, like I'm not sitting
here. Had that cue.
You notice
that? I was
that?
Really slouching for a second there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess being aware of your body and everything is the first thing you need to do in order to get into this, you know. Now, you have a website, too. Do you provide this for people that are not near you as well? I mean, like, did you do like a book or something or a program or people?
You know, all of this is in the works.
Okay.
For the upcoming year, most of my clients are here in California.
Okay.
And the ones that I have developed a relationship and a business relationship back in New York,
right?
I still have an ongoing dialogue with them.
I see.
Yeah.
Very cool. I know who they are. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. My website is just KellyMackMethod.com. Yeah.
Right. KellyMackMethod.com. You can find out more. Total mind and body fitness. And you developed your own system, which is amazing. So what can people expect? I mean, when they come to you, do they come to you for to be in better shape, to lose weight? What's the common denominator there?
I love these questions. They're so, so important.
Well, that's why
I'm
here.
Right?
He's done this once or twice.
Yeah.
So I am known to be like a life coach, a lifestyle coach.
Oh, okay.
So if you are looking to do a dramatic change, I'm not the person.
Okay.
But if you want to change your lifestyle,
okay,
I am the person.
I see.
Doesn't mean I can't help you lose weight, because
right,
that's part of my method.
Right.
But when I teach people, I'm sure that you remember when I was on the show and when we were waiting to get filmed, I'm always moving.
Mm-hmm.
And my instructions are not harsh. I'm very encouraging. I'm very respectful
right,
of people and why, you know, they're choosing to be with me.
Right.
I want them to know that I am basically their cheerleader, but I also need to educate them when they spend time with me.
Right.
I'm not like, you know, certain coaches are like, give me 20 or, you know, or yell at me. I've never been that way.
Yeah.
Plus it clicks more in people's minds when they know why they're doing what they're doing. You know, I studied sports medicine for a couple of years, so I help a lot of friends with like myofascial release and stuff like that. And they don't, like, I know so many people who work out and don't foam roll or don't stretch, and they don't understand why that's dangerous or why they have a headache after they don't stretch and things like that. And then I just do a couple things to their shoulders, and suddenly they're like, oh my God, my migraine that was making me feel nauseous is completely gone. And you have to explain to them why, because otherwise, if you explain, then they're like, oh, okay, it gives them that incentive to actually do it, to actually foam roll, which is so important.
Right.
Right.
Jen's right.
What do you suggest
Jen's
to some?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why she's here. She's great. So if someone is like not into working out at all, what do you tell them?
Sam's asking for himself.
Well, you don't have to tell them, you know. But if someone's totally not into it, how what do you tell them?
Totally not into it.
How can I find some interest in that?
You know, first, my first step in, when I have a client, I spend time talking to them. Like, I want to get to know them, because I think that in addition to being a good coach, you also want to be a good listener, a counselor. Right. And you want to understand, like, her needs are going to be different than yours. My needs are going to be different than Jen's, you know? And so my method is not like, oh, I've got 12, you know, steps, and I'm going to, you know, everyone's going to do that. And so I think that is a very important question, and that is that you, I'm going to spend time with you first.
Yeah, I go to the doctor, and they're like, are you walking? Dude, you saw me fall on the show.
I know.
I fell recently on the other leg. There's no way I can be walking 2 miles a day anymore.
Right.
So my, when a doctor says, you need to be walking, I'm looking at them going, right. I need a different, I need something
different.
Yeah,
something, another option.
They're ready, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not like a live show or anything.
Right.
When did you guys shoot the segment?
I think it was about 6 months ago.
Right. Oh, wow. Right. So you had to wait that long.
This was a tough secret, huh?
It was. I was like, are we ever going
to
be able to talk
keep
about
that
it?
Secret, huh?
I can never tell people.
I don't know what these secrets,
I will be on television
because
right.
Yeah, everybody's like secretive, you know.
I know. There's so many. I was on a phone call this morning because the cast of the pilot that I shot, they were posting media after signing contracts not to post any media, and they they don't understand why they can't post it or what it is. So I just had to go into like a full marketing meeting this morning, 9 o'clock.
I heard that everyone in LA is an actor or an aspiring actress.
Yes, we
they
are.
So, they are, except for me. I'm an aspiring waiter.
Are you?
You're doing exactly what you should be doing, Sam.
I mean, everybody's a waiter or an aspiring actor.
I wanted to be Jane Seymour when I grew up. Unfortunately, I think I turned out more like Rebel Wilson, but oh well. I'm still good.
I like your essence.
Yeah, Rebel Wilson's awesome.
Yeah.
That's right.
Jane Seymour, that's kind of random, but I like her too. You know?
She's beautiful.
Yeah. I first saw her in Live and Let Die, I think, right? The James Bond movie.
Right.
She's a painter now. I ran into her in Dallas.
Really?
A couple months
ago. Yeah, she's still very pretty, right?
Yeah, she is.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
She's my grandmother's age, and she has no wrinkles.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Jen, you're beautiful as you are.
I know.
You stay out of the sun.
I know. Thank you. I do. As you can tell from the color of my skin.
I love it.
I stay very
out
of the sun.
She's from New York, you know.
I know. Everyone's like, you're so pale. Like, I went home to visit and everyone was like, you didn't get any tan at all? I was like, I have a couple more freckles than I had.
Yeah. I was in Prince Edward Island in Canada a couple years ago, and I'm sitting on the beach with all these other very, very white people. And these ladies beside me were talking about, I went to California last summer, and everyone said, you're so white. What's wrong with you? Where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from Canada. And I'm sitting there beside them thinking, and I'm from Texas, but I blend in. My people, white people. Pale people.
Pale people, yeah. Really pale, for sure.
Well, congratulations on the show, and we're going to watch it for sure. And anybody, if you want to get in shape, Kelly is the place to go. And I might consider it too, since I need to get in shape.
Yeah, Sam's been talking about his bicycle for like months.
I know. Bought a bike, don't use it. So,
we're going to use it.
Yeah. But at any rate, Kelly, so people can find you on Kelly Mack Method. You're also on social media, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
is it the same handles?
It is the same handle. And I should plug in that I also have my own fitness show on Asian television.
Oh,
amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. I have my own show.
Uh-huh.
Kelly Mack Fitness Show.
What language do you speak on there?
I speak Vietnamese and Chinese.
Amazing.
Yeah, and English, obviously. But
right.
So I have my own fitness show on Asian television. I have my website, Kelly Mack Method, same handle with Facebook and Instagram. I've got a lot of things cooking, Sam, and I'm quite excited about 2020.
Hopefully, you'll cook them better than the food, right?
Right, yeah. We did learn something from the show.
We did. I know what Beijing sauce is.
Yeah,
there you go. So if you guys want to watch, bad cooks, then tune in.
We're horrible cooks.
Yes,
in front of them.
And Jolynn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very
much. A lot of fun. Enjoy your stay here, and when are you going back?
Tomorrow evening, yes.
Wow, okay.
Have a safe flight.
Yeah,
for sure. And tomorrow, so that's New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Oh, wow, it's going to be packed.
I know.
The airlines.
Oh, my gosh, you'll see fireworks from the sky. That'll be really
cool.
That's
why I thought I could either come back on 30, you know, 31st or the 1st. Yeah. I thought I've seen that before and I liked it.
Yeah.
That's true. I saw that a few years ago. I went to New York. We landed on Christmas Day and we left New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw the... Yeah, I saw the fireworks here in LA.
It's really cool to see stuff like that from a plane. We were coming back from Puerto Rico, my family and I, and we saw, it was the night, it was like 3 or 4 years ago, a rocket was taking off, and we saw the rocket take off from the airplane, awesome. And that was really interesting.
Wow.
Have you been to Vieques?
No.
Oh, Vieques, it's a little tiny island off of Puerto Rico. They have a bio bay. The bay glows. If you go, well, now you can't swim in it. You used to could swim in it, but now you can kick your feet. And
why can't you swim in it?
Because it went dark one year, so they're paying more attention to it.
Oh, got it.
It's filled up with dinoflagellates. It's safe.
Yeah, it's like bluish, right?
Yes, you can see the fish, you know, fly through the water.
Yeah.
If you pour water on your, it looks like little tiny stars just dripping down your body.
Oh my God. That's so pretty.
Yeah.
Biobay.com. Now I just ruined a secret for the whole world.
That's, I know, it's going to be all over Instagram now. Oh, no. It's saturated.
Oh, everybody will be there. Oh, well.
We blame you. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Sorry, ladies, thank you so much for joining us. All it's the best to you. Everybody,
thank
check
you,
them out.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you,
Sam.
Thank you,
Sam. See everybody tomorrow.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.